Let's pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts not just be acceptable while we are here in this space, but may they be acceptable when we're in our homes, when we're out, when we're doing other things. We ask this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 127. Hear now the word of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Several months ago, I was preaching some sermons in Job and Proverbs and Psalms. And I shared this with you, and we're going to have a test in a week or two, and I wanted to have a refresher. But the books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, all make up the Old Testament wisdom literature. Most of us, when we think of wisdom literature, we think of Proverbs, those catchy little Proverbs that we sometimes quote. Those Proverbs typically say these kinds of words: if you do what is right, good things will happen to you, right? If you're not lazy and you do what's right, good things will happen. Now, if you're a lazy so-and-so, bad things are going to happen to you. If you're good in all things and you are male, you're going to marry the Proverbs 31 woman. If you're not, well, tough luck. Now, the difference about that is that in the book of Job, we learn that bad things happen to good people, don't we? And so we stand in the tension. We think of it, the best way to think of Proverbs, if we think in the aggregate. Statistically speaking, if I do good things, if I work hard, good things are going to happen to me, most likely. If I don't drink alcohol, there's a good chance I won't become an alcoholic. It tells us in Proverbs not to drink beer, not to drink hard drinks. It tells us that. But you know, I know people who drink. They're not alcoholics. I went to school with some lazy people. One of them was me. There are times in our life we might not do all the things we're supposed to do, and somewhere along the way we get it, and sometimes we defy the Proverbs, don't we? Sometimes that happens. But we think of Proverbs, the way I like to think of Proverbs, is sort of like the way we raise our children. Statistically speaking, when I was a kid, we were not allowed to play baseball in the middle of the street. We could play in the yard. It's not that every child who ever played baseball in the street got hit by a car, but if you're playing baseball in the yard, you won't get hit by a car in the street. And so sometimes our Proverbs and some of the things we make our kids do or not do have to do within our mind of statistically thinking of what's the probability of something happening or not, right? And then you got Job, because we find out bad things happen to good people. And so that's where we kind of are today, because our psalm doesn't sound like a regular psalm. It sounds more like a proverb. And when I picked this scripture to preach from several months ago, I liked the first verse. Well, really, I like the first half of the first verse. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Second half's okay. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And then I have a problem. Because what it says is, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food and eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I don't know about y'all, but I've been having trouble sleeping. I've been waking up really early in the morning. Does that mean that God doesn't love me? It kind of contradicts some of those proverbs, because it says to get up, work hard, and doesn't it? But this is saying something different. And then you get to the third verse. It says, children, in some of the older translations, it says sons, are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. I'm troubled because we only had daughters. Do I have problems? They are not a reward? Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. I don't know about you, but my parents strictly talked against that. Having children in your youth? I'm having struggles with this passage of Scripture. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. I have struggles with that because there are people who want to have children who can't have children. Does that mean something bad about those people? I didn't mean to bring this up. And then I began to study. And then one of the things that came to mind was that this Psalm of Solomon was written, possibly, in conjunction with 2 Samuel 7, 1 and 2, where David goes to God in prayer and says, I want to build a house for you, meaning a temple. And God counters and says, no, I want to build a house for you. And that house is David's lineage, where there will never cease to be an heir. And that heir is Jesus Christ. And so we start thinking, oh, this is something different. This is something different. This is a psalm of ascent, where the pilgrims, the Jewish pilgrims, would sing or chant this psalm when they would go to Jerusalem for the high holy days. Can you imagine singing this psalm of Solomon as you're going to the temple that Solomon built? It's new. It's shiny. It's easy to sing this psalm when everything is great. What about singing this psalm when the temple has been destroyed in 586 by the Babylonians? How do we sing the psalm when things are not good, when things are bad? In 1988, I think it was, I decided I was going to build a house. My friends that we all got married about the same time, moved back home or whatever, we got married, we had children, it was time to build a new house. Some of them started building houses or buying houses, and so I thought I needed another house. So I got out all this stuff and I began to find a place that I was going to build this house. I found a plan, I edited and moved some stuff around. I was going to build this house, and I did everything I was supposed to do, and when I got through building this house, it was absolutely perfect. There's only one thing wrong with that. I really didn't decide the house plan. My wife and I decided the house plan. And I really didn't pick the lot out. We kind of picked the lot out. And when after I bought the lot, I decided I was going to clear that lot. And one day, I got my chainsaw out, and I got my weed eater with the blade on it. It was thick. It was real thick. And it was 5 acres, and I had to do 250 feet to where the house was going to be from the road. And I started. At the end of 8 hours, I was tired, and I had 15 feet wide and about 35 feet in. And then the bulldozer came about a week or two later. In 4 hours, he made a driveway, cleared the lot, and fixed up what I messed up. So really, I didn't clear the lot, nor did I lay the foundation, or pour the concrete, nor lay the block, nor put the wood in there, or build the thing, or do anything about it. I didn't do much of anything, personally. I've come to the conclusion, as I was thinking about this sermon, we pretty much should never say I. Because everything that you have ever done is because someone else has taught you, explain something to you, or you've been able to experience them. I was thinking about, I could not have been born without my mother. I could not survive early on without my mother. And then my dad, I guess, started taking over a little bit. He started helping a little bit. And then over and over and over again, more and more people begin to help us. And today, there is nothing I can do that is not influenced by other people. Every decision I make is based on somebody else's influence in my life, and so is yours. There's no such thing as I. So if you think you're building a house, you need to think again. I was thinking about those pilgrims going to the temple when the temple was no more. The home of God was no more. Did that mean that God was no more? How could they do that? How could they praise God where the home of God is no more? Started thinking about the things we do in our lives. And have you thought about lately where you were last year, about the time COVID was making its way? If you had known then what you know now, would you have prepared yourself better for what you experienced over the last 19 months? Would you? And now that we're coming out of COVID, are any of you thinking about things that we probably need to do differently as individuals or as your family or as a church differently so that we can be prepared for the next thing that happens? Because you can't build a house. And I can't build a house. Because in the midst of this psalm, we understand what we know. That God is a builder, that God is a protector, and God is a provider. And when sooner we learn that, the better off we're going to be when the next crisis comes our way, no matter what it is. Amen? Please say amen. Because I look back over the last year and I think, boy, if I'd have known then what I know now, I would have been prepared better. I wouldn't have just been going through the motions of praising God. Maybe I would have been more fervent in my prayers. I would have been more to do more, to rely on God more. But too often in our lives, we think we can handle everything by ourselves. And we lose sleep. We don't sleep. We ache. We're depressed. We don't rely on each other. We aren't willing to rely on others, and others aren't willing to rely on us. Because we think we can build a house. In 87, but I might be, it might be Christmas of 86. It was a long time ago, right after electricity was invented. I was working as a contract manager in an apparel company. I'd been working for them about a year. They owed me about $5,000, and that's when $5,000 was $5,000. I had two small children. I had a lovely wife then. I still have a lovely wife now. In those, right about Christmas is when they owed me $5,000. And I learned that if something didn't happen, I was not going to have a job within the first 2 weeks of the new year. But I was afraid to tell my wife that. I didn't want to ruin her Christmas. I didn't want to ruin my family's Christmas. I didn't want to ruin that for a lot of people. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You're some of those same people that would have done the same thing, right? And on Christmas night, after all the presents were opened and all the family had gone home and we got in the bed, I shared that with my wife. Talk about embarrassment, pain, embarrassed that I would keep that from someone who loves me, who only wants the very best for me, that I'm too afraid to share that with her. You understand what I'm saying? Because I thought I could handle everything without anybody. And I found out in the moments of telling her, I can't deal with everything by myself. And we do the same thing to God. We won't allow ourselves to allow God to help us to build our house. A house, as it says in the Sermon on the Mount, that's built on a rock. And when the winds come, and the rains come, and it pelts against it, it will not fall. I pray that as we begin to move out of this, whatever this is, and I pray and I hope you're praying that we move out of this thing that we're in, that we will all agree to do things differently. I love where we're headed, but I certainly don't want to be here ever again, because I have not learned that without God, I can't build this house. But with God, the house will stand and we will not labor in vain. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. We thank you that you are a builder, a protector, and a provider. May we lean on you. May we lean on each other. May we also allow others to lean on us, to share life together. Share life in such a way that we enrich each other's lives and glorify God in the process. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.